Blog Talk Radio.
Sports fans, it's DW back with another edition of Inside the War Room. Thank you for joining me. It is Tuesday night. Thank you for joining me this week. It's been quite a humbling experience for you letting me be with you tonight and every night, Monday through Friday or Monday through Thursday, however I do the show. We're bringing you another edition tonight. Tonight I have special guest Richard Torres Jr. He's from Brevard College. A really good school that's had a lot of different guys over the years really played at a high level. He started his college journey at Bowie State. We'll talk to him a little bit about that, as well as, you know, his play. He's a very, very, very strong player. He can really put up it on the bench press and on the field. He's going to draw double teams. He values his education, and he's a leader in the locker room, which I always like guys that are leaders in the locker room. So Mr. Torres will be joining us shortly. Just a few announcements. Tomorrow's special guest, we have Jeremy Estramaria from Mansfield University, as well as his teammate, Lavelle Spivey, on Thursday. And Friday, we will have Mighty Mouse, Steven Nelson from Oregon State. Great kid, played in the Senior Bowl. He will be a really big guest for us. But tonight's focus, episode 12, will be Richard Torres from Brevard College. We will have him on here shortly to talk about his journey going to the NFL. And if you want to check out any archived interviews, don't forget to check them out at NFLDraftWarRoom.com/interviews, everything that I've gone over, and so much more. You can check out. Interviews are there. So check them out. Lots of good stuff there. So Mr. Richard Torres is 5'11", 295, has a low center of gravity, but uses his strength to his advantage to gain leverage over blockers. Sometimes those guys with lower leverage can get under the pass rush, especially guys his size are outstanding, sniffing out the run. So this is the type of guy you're getting on an NFL team, one that's, you know, at a low center of gravity that, you know, uses his hands well and is strong. So without further ado, I would love to bring our special guest on to the show. Richard, are you there?
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful tonight. It's been a great day for me. I've been busy in the office. I've been prepping our show for the last hour, trying to, you know, do a little homework on you so, you know, make this a really good, deep interview. And, you know, I've told our listeners a little bit about you, about your starting journey at Bowie State, and then you transferred over to Brevard College, and also talked about your size, Brevard College, excuse me. And, you know, that's what I've told the listeners so far. So let's jump right into it. Let's talk about your high school experience going forward to college ranks. How many different teams were looking at you, and what were they looking for with a guy with your talent level?
I wrapped up my high school career at St. Vincent Pilate High School, a small private Catholic school in Laurel, Maryland, in the PG County area. Coming out of high school my senior year, you know, I had a really big season. You know, played around a great group of guys. You know, Coach Pat Quartermass tried his best to get us all out there. Out of high school, college-wise, college is looking at me. Dayton University spoke to me in the beginning of my senior season, you know, and, you know, Dayton University is a really big academic school, you know, so it was really like I had to really sustain the academic to have, you know, before we really even spoke about athletics. You know, so going out of high school, I was young. You know, I was 16 going into my senior season. You know, so I turned 17 mid-season. Out of high school, I had maybe like, I'd say like six or seven schools looking at me. Shepherd University was obviously the number one school. And, you know, things obviously didn't fall through with Shepherd, so I chose to go to prep school out of high school. And I chose to go to North Carolina Tech, you know, and it was a great level of play there. You know, the postgraduate school, I was a qualifier out of high school. I just really wanted to get a lot of looks. You know, that was my main thing. You know, so after a solid season at North Carolina Tech, playing around great competition, I then chose to go to Bowie State. You know, Bowie State was an awesome experience for me. You know, it really gave me a chance to really feel, really get that college experience and really understand how to be a defensive tackle. I feel like before I really, you know, I took the role, like say, I could say, tell somebody I was a defensive tackle, but Bowie State really ultimately taught me how to become a defensive tackle and, you know, how to fight double teams and things like that. You know, and I had an awesome freshman year, you know, then I had a family experience go on and, you know, something happened within my family. And at that point in time, I always wanted to go away from home for school. And, you know, I got my release from Bowie in the springtime, spring about 2012, spring 2012 semester. Then, you know, Coach Jefferson reached out for me from Brevard College, where I'm at now. You know, and from there, it was a beautiful experience. You know, they all brought me in with open arms, you know, and then I came to Brevard, you know, and I made the most of my 3 years here. You know, it was an awesome experience, played with a lot of great guys, you know, Michael Gruber, Landon Allen, you know, the list goes on, Kevin Jeter, Jordan Ellis, you know, a lot of guys I got a chance to learn from and grow with, you know, so it was an awesome experience here at Brevard College.
Man, you took literally about, you know, 5 points away I was going to bring up. You brought your A game. You were trying to counter what I was going to bring tonight. I was going to ask you about your relationship with coaches. Over the last few years, you already talked about a few of them, just, you know, in that last little bit was awesome. And it seems also that you value education, which I think is outstanding for any young man because, you know, getting your education, something to fall back on in case your NFL dream doesn't come to light. So I think it's outstanding. You value that. I was going to ask about your relationship with Coach Kitchen at Bowie State. I know you kind of touched on it, but go more in detail of how he developed you into an all-around defensive tackle.
Well, Coach Kitch was an awesome defensive line coach at Bowie State. You know, he really taught me how to become – he brought that you know, because you have to play with anger, you know what I mean, whenever you play. Not necessarily negative anger, but positive anger that is going to help with your team defensively. You know, so Coach Kitch really taught me how to – get aggressive with the man in front of me as well as use my hands, you know, and he put me around a great group of guys as far as like nose tackle. He was a junior whenever I was a freshman, Keith Harris, or senior defensive tackle, Reggie, you know, then it was a lot of guys, Delano Johnson, who plays in the CFL now. So I played around a lot of guys defensively, and Coach Kitch, you know, he really took me under his wing whenever I came in and any questions, you know, he can, Coach Kitch, a great thing. One thing I really liked about him was that he'll break you down to build you up. You know, so if I wasn't performing well, he'll be honest with me. You know, and he'll tell me what I needed to hear. But then when I'm doing well and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, you know what I mean? He'll build me up. You know, so he definitely was an awesome coach. You know, at Bowie State, he definitely helped me out a whole lot.
I think it's important that, you know, a coach that develops you. You know, starting off, and especially guys like you that, you know, want to further enhance your education, you know, you get a belt, you go to the next school. Tell me about your relationship with Coach Hamilton. He's very well known, 30 years of experience, coaching experience. And then, you know, Justin Jackson, he's very well respected as not only, you know, a great D-line coach with his physicality, teaching guys to be physical, but also he's got a great eye for talent. I believe he was in the AFL and IFL for a few years scouting, so he understands also the recruiting process, finding guys.
Yes,
tell me about your relationship with Coach Hamilton and Coach Jefferson.
Coach Jefferson. Coach Hamilton, when I first got there, was an experience, you know, because Coach Hamilton, his philosophy was, you know, not necessarily he wanted to work on defense, but Coach Hamilton's number one thing was being in shape and conditioning. When I first got there my sophomore year, you know, it was an eye-opener, you know, because if you weren't running to the ball, you were either going right to that cornfield or you're going to stay in there until you realize what you was doing wrong. You know, but Coach Hamilton, he's really uniform. You know, he wants things a certain way. If it's not done a certain way, trust me, he'll get another guy in there. You know, so Coach Hamilton definitely helped me out with my game in regards to, you know, just getting rid of that laziness. Not necessarily – I've never been a lazy player, but that even, like, thought of even trying to be lazy, he got that up out of you from day one. You know, like, no, Torres, you're good. You could go – I could have played 8 plays. You know, Torres, you could stay in there another 8 plays, you know. You know, so our relationship has grown. You know, it was rocky initially, but, you know, it was all growing pains. You know, I was a sophomore coming all the way from the Maryland area down to North Carolina. You know, and as the years grown, you know, I mean, our relationship has strengthened. You know, he's an awesome head coach. And, yes, like you said, he has 30 years of experience. And, you know, he does a great job of reminding us as players, you know, like he came from Air Force. So he – what they did at Air Force, we're doing here. If it was working at Air Force back then, it's going to work here, you know. So, Coach Jefferson, you know, like you said, Coach Jefferson did. He coached Arena with the Columbus Lions. You know, me and him spoke about that whenever I first came here. You know, just asking about his background. And Coach A, he brings a lot to the game, you know, and brings a lot to us as a defensive line. You know, he's a good coach. You know, I couldn't rank him and my defensive line coach from Bowie because – they're both great in different ways. You know what I mean? Like, that's like comparing Warren Sapp and Vince Wilfork. They're both good and great interior defensive tackles. One just plays a certain style. One plays a certain style. You know what I mean? Coach Jefferson, he's just good at, you know, bringing us together as a family, as a defensive line, and helping us understand what we're seeing blocking-wise, you know, scheme-wise. You know, and he does a great job of breaking stuff down. I remember there's countless times when I would say after practice and ask Coach Jefferson, like, hey, Coach, how would I beat this trap if this guy steps this way? You know, so his knowledge of the game is impeccable. You know, I've never had an experience where I threw a question at Coach Jefferson and he wasn't able to answer. You know, so you know, and I speak to him just about every day. I see him every day. We speak. You know, I keep him up to date with my process, and you know, I just ask him for advice and everything like that, and going on from there.
It's important going forward, you know, with a NFL team. And, you know, such an overwhelming experience. It's not only good to have your coach in your pocket, but, you know, mm-hmm. you can go back to your as a mentor figure. And that's something mm-hmm. I can see Coach Jefferson really providing for you, not only other guys out there mentoring, but a guy that, you know, has worked with you for 2 years, knows your game better than, you know, probably mm-hmm. anyone else. So, you know, I think it's yeah. incredible that you have a good relationship with all the coaches that you've worked with, and going forward, it's really going to help you try to land the spot going forward to the NFL.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The next part of my segment, I like bringing up what I call the shadow comparison. I usually let you sell yourself, and who do you compare yourself to in the NFL? I give you my take on who I compare yourself to after watching your film and making the grade.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you're asking me who I compare myself to?
Yes,
man.
and then I'll give my comparison of who I think you remind me of.
Okay. There's so many awesome, like, defensive interior linemen. I would want to compare myself to either I'm kind of split between, like, a Casey Hampton and a Vince Wilfork. You know, those are the two I would really say I kind of crafted my game after collegially for the most part.
Those are really two talented defensive linemen. You know, Casey Hampton, pretty much retired now. He had a great career mm-hmm. being a run stuffer for Pittsburgh Steelers. Everyone knows him in Pittsburgh as a really great guy. And then Vince Wilfork, who doesn't seem to age. His athleticism is awe-inspiring for his size.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it in the game, but this is personally who I see your game like, and it's not a guy that gets a lot of credit. He was mm-hmm. drafted in the 4th round in 2011 by the Green Bay Packers. So, and mm-hmm. now he's starting to break into the starting lineup. I compare your game a lot to Mike Daniels.
Okay.
If you are familiar with Mike Daniels. Mike Daniels is a smaller guy. I'm not putting a knock on your size because I've actually interviewed a lot of smaller guys, and, you know, I think they have a great motor. Daniels was a two-year starter at Iowa. He's very active. He's got a great motor, and he's a great guy in the locker room. That's exactly what I see you like because you're great in the locker room. You have a great head on your shoulders. You definitely have a high motor. That shows on film. Also, you draw double teams, something that Daniels always did in college, and he's doing now. Even with his small frame, he understands how to use his leverage. I was talking about that before you got on there, saying that you do a good job with leverage, understanding your strength, the power ratio. I talk about that when I do scouting reports. Strength to power ratio, you could be as strong as a Knox, but you don't understand the power to use the strength, then sometimes you overextend and then the play's over and you're done for. Not you.
I understand.
You understand
your
strength to power ratio. So I'm not trying to knock you off your high horse and saying you're not like a Vince Wilfork, but I think you're
Mike Daniels. Yes, sir.
That's what you bring to.
That's an awesome comparison, and I appreciate that. No, I know a lot of people, Mike Daniels, of course. I try to familiarize myself with a lot of defensive tackles I don't necessarily get as much credit. But, yeah, Mike Daniels, that's an awesome comparison. I'll take that anyway.
Well, I hope you really take it to heart, watching some film on him. But I think you're very much like Daniels in so many different ways. So I want to move into the next segment. I like bringing this up about different alumni that have reached out to the school. Now, I know the college you're at hasn't really had much of a pro factory, as scouts call it, or, a GM. But I'm familiar with a name back in the 70s, a guy named John Tanner. He was drafted, I think, in the 9th round, 224th pick, John Tanner, who played defensive line, linebacker, and I think tight end. So he was like a three-time player. Does John Tanner ever come back to the school to give any kind of wisdom for you or your teammates going forward?
To be completely honest, sir, no, I haven't. Gotten a chance to hear him speak. He might have came for classes before mine, but no. This is my first time hearing about a John Tanner, and now I want to go out and find out more information about this man, this individual.
Well, I can definitely help you out with that. But John Tanner is his name. He was in the 9th round, I believe, and that was a class of 1971. So he came from your school. Sometimes I like to see how veterans help guys going forward to the league. I wanted to ask about your relationship with one of the guys that's also being looked at by, different NFL scouts is Michael Gruber. What's your relationship with him?
Michael Gruber it may not be professional for me to say this, but Michael Gruber is my boy. We're thick as thieves. Me and Gruber actually just ate lunch the other day together. I feel like the reason why we had a good bit of chemistry was because we had good on-field chemistry because our off-field chemistry was also, on the same level. If Gruber was having one of those games, I would speak to him. And I'll get him right and vice versa, but me and Gruber, like I said, we're thick as thieves. We speak just about every day. We just sat in the lunchroom yesterday, and we're just speaking about the future and everything from there. But my relationship with Gruber is awesome. I can go down to his room right now, and go hang out with him. But, Gruber's an extremely intelligent linebacker, probably one of the most smartest linebackers I've played with, aside from Billy Muscatello. Gruber knows the game. He knows each block he's seeing. The list goes on. He has heart. That's one thing. We could be down by X amount of points. Gruber will still be out there giving his all, But, he was a spectacular, awesome player to play with.
And I've already watched Gruber's film, too, just because he keyed my interest when I was watching your film. And he stood out to me. I'm like, wow, this guy is very – always around the ball, got a great motor. And you can see the passion in the play, but,
yeah.
If we can get Gruber on air, I'll get him on air. But this this show, this segment's about you, so we're going to keep it centralized around you. I'm going to bring up one of the last segments of the night. I like to call the three wish segment. You have, I'm your genie, and you have three wishes to wish for anything you want. The only stipulation is you can't wish yourself instantly to an NFL roster. Anything else is game.
Okay. Three wishes. Now, are these wishes outside of the sport of football or just wishes, just period? Like
anything.
Football related.
You can't put you can't put yourself on a roster, any kind of roster, CFL, AFL. Just any kind of wish whatsoever.
All right. Well, man, this is something you prep for before an interview, but three wishes. One thing, I think my number one wish would be that obviously my number one wish would be to make sure I would wish health health, wealth, and fortune for my family. And now when I say wealth and fortune, I don't necessarily mean dollar value-wise. I mean intelligence-wise and, you know, and just that shield, you know what I mean, a protection. That's my number one, you know what I mean, because family's really big to me. And if my family isn't good, then I'm not good, you know. So my main thing is, you know, intelligence and everything, fortune from there. That's number one. Number two, if I can't wish myself to be on a roster, am I allowed to wish for an opportunity, like to put myself at, like an opportunity to, you know, like let's say like a camp, like would I be able to wish for something like that?
Not necessarily, because that, you know,
not
gives you a chance.
Okay.
Reword it. Like I'll give you a suggestion. Some guy did it the other day, and it was actually quite brilliant. He said, I wish that I would have, you know, an X amount of scouts come out and actually watch me play so I have a chance to showcase myself.
Okay. My second wish would be I would wish for my interview to fall in the emails of any NFL, CFL, scouting personnel's email. So I would wish for this email segment right here to be somehow magically appear in scouts of any football level professionally to fall within their emails. That's number two, if I can make that one.
That's perfectly fine. You're not on the team, but, you know, you're giving yourself an opportunity. Make a team. That's different.
Exactly. And then my number three wish, I'm not a selfish person, you know, so I really never get a chance to really focus on myself. You know what I mean? Like I focus on like myself, like when I'm training and doing other things like that. But my third wish would be for like, young children who don't have that opportunity to play football, you know, whether they're not in the best, like, household situation or financial situation, I would wish that any child that either wants to play the sport of football or any sport in general is granted that opportunity, you know what I mean, to take part in a game that they really want to be a part of.
I think those are three amazing wishes. They're not selfish at all. You know, you want to take care of your family. You want to give yourself an opportunity, even though, you know, you might not make it. At least, you know, you have guys looking at you and, you know, just giving back to kids that you probably looked up to someone, I'm sure. So, you know, the feeling's mutual. I'm sure there's kids out there and saying, you know, I want to be just like him. He's great in school. He's, you know, phenomenal on the football field. I think those are three great wishes. With my last question of the night, I'm a general manager. You're gonna sell yourself to me. Your favorite team is the Steelers, I'm guessing.
Yes, sir.
You're Steelers fan. Kevin Colbert. I'm Kevin Colbert. I just brought you in for a workout. I brought you in for a private workout. You put up 33 on the bench press. You ran a surprisingly fast 4.8, which, you know, I don't know your exact 40, but it might be 4.8. You just had a really good day, and Colbert has put away his notes. His scouts leave the room, but he looks across the table, he's sitting right across from you, and said, "Why is Richard Torres Jr. a good fit for my team. You have 3 minutes to sell yourself.
Okay. Why am I, Richard Torres Jr., a great fit for your team? I feel like I'm a hard worker. You know, you're bringing a guy like me in, you're bringing in a hard worker. I put on my hard hat and I bring my lunch pail to work each and every day. You know, I've worked for everything up to this point. You know, nothing's been given to me. You know, so if you're looking for that guy that's going to put himself out for the team, I'm that guy. You know, I've never been a selfish guy. You know, coming from a linebacker-oriented defense, you know, I know, you know, I may not get all the tackles, but I know I'm definitely willing to put myself on the line for the team, for the greater good of the team. You know, you're bringing me onto the team. You know, you're bringing on a guy that's going to come, show up to practice, weights, whatever it may be, every day early, you know, and then get that extra work in, because I've always had a mentality that, or a mindset that, somebody out there is trying to outwork me, and I'm not going to allow them to outwork me, you know. I mean, like you're bringing in a guy that, you know, I'm not saying I sell myself short, but I don't expect anything to be handed to me. I don't expect anything in return. You know what I mean? I feel like the only way you get certain things is through hard work, you know. So if I'm not working hard, I can't be upset with you if you're not handing me an opportunity, you know. And at the same time, if I am working hard and I'm not handed an opportunity, that's only going to make me want to work even harder, you know. I don't have a roof. I have no limit, you know. I don't see any limit. I don't believe in peaks or anything like that. I feel like I just keep working. I look at each and every day, that work that I put in, like a chapter in a book, except for this book doesn't have an ending. So if I did this today in practice, all right, that's in yesterday's chapter. I don't read backwards in books. You only read forward. So I only want to progress from there, you know. So, you know, you ultimately bringing in a guy who's a hard worker, willing to do everything for the team, and at the end of the day, you know, I've never been a me guy. And, you know, and if you grant me this opportunity, I promise you won't regret it.
What a great answer. Sports fans, draft fans, Richard Torres, Brevard College. I keep on saying that wrong, don't I?
Brevard.
Is it Brevard?
Brevard,
yeah, Brevard College.
Brevard, yes, sir.
But sports fans, draft fans, Richard Torres, Brevard College, defensive tackle, 5'11", 295. Such a humble young man going forward to the NFL. If you want to check him out on Twitter, follow his journey going forward, it is @rich_the_ruler.
Yes,
he's up there getting ready for his workouts and everything going forward. I wish I could have more time, but I've only got a minute left. Thank you for coming on tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
And if there's anything that I can do for you or Mickey from NFL Draft War Room, please feel free to reach out to us. Your interview is going to be archived, so you can listen to it as many times as you want. I've had it.
Yes, sir.
With that being said, have a great night and take care.
Thank you. You also.
Such a humble young man, Richard Torres of Brevard College, defensive tackle, 5'11", 295, very strong, great center of gravity. He plays a lot like Mike Daniels, who was drafted by the Packers in 2011, fourth-round pick. I just really like what he brings to an NFL team. He says the right answers. He's got a great work ethic. He's a leader, and that's something an NFL team will love. So with that being said, I'm your host, DW. Thank you for joining me for another edition of Inside the War Room. I will be back tomorrow night with Jeremy Estrademer from Mansfield University, wide receiver. And take care, everyone. Have a great night.